you're my God.
I love to praise his name.
I'm going to sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're singing because I love. Yes, you know that I love to. In the morning, I love to. In the evening, I love to praise his holy name.
Amen. And good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Is God good? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Even when we're not good, God is still good. It's just good to be here amongst the living. Good to be a child of God. Do you love God? I really love. Sing it with me if you mean it. Yes. Oh, well, I really love the Lord, and you don't know what. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. Oh, and that's why I love him. I really love him. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. And you don't know. Yes, he gave
me.
Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done
for me.
Thank you, Father. He gave me. And that's why I love
him. I love him. I really love the Lord.
Amen. Amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're a truly honored guest, and thank you so, so much for coming to attend the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. I want you to join me in the book of Mark, chapter 1. I've entitled the lesson today, Lessons from Peter. Lessons from Peter. Those of you that's been in the church a while, you know who Peter is. Mark 1, 16. And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, speaking of Jesus, he saw Simon and Andrew. This particular gospel, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the gospels, the books that give the history of Jesus, all about the life of Christ, Mark's account. He saw Simon and Andrew, they were brothers, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. It would seem that they just left everything where they were and just followed Jesus, and that is what they did. But that's why it's good to study the Bible, study the whole Bible, because this is one account, and it's not that it's not true, but if you just read this account, you would misconceive really what happened. For instance, if you went to John's account, John chapter 1, and I'll begin at verse 35, because just to show you a little background, because Peter is known as the apostle who initiated the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, and it seems that Peter just stopped what he was doing and followed Jesus. But one of the lessons I learned as I was kind of going through this and studying is that there needs to be a confirmation before you commit to anything. In other words, Peter didn't just follow Jesus just because Jesus said, follow me. And it's the same way with somebody maybe here this morning, and you may be seeking, or you may be searching, or you may be searching something that's not involved with religion per se. You want to get involved in an organization, or you want to be you got your eye on this man or this woman, and you think that they look good, but you need to get some confirmation before you commit. Amen, somebody. What are you saying, Brother Gary? Listen to John's account, John chapter 1, 35. Again, the next day, John. This is John the Baptist. I just don't have time to go over all the history. Some of this you have to study for yourself. The next day, John, that's John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, this is John the Baptist. Some of you remember that John, he preached also. He preached that the kingdom of God is near. John's message was that I'm not the Christ. If you want to test it, read all of John chapter 1, and it'll show. Christ, John said, I'm not the Christ. There is one coming after me that's greater than me. And here he gets his first glimpse of Jesus. Actually, it starts a little bit before this. If you read verse number 29, you'll see that John says, I didn't recognize him. But God said, whoever I send, the Spirit is descending as a dove on his baptism, that is he. And John witnessed Jesus' baptism as he baptized him. The Spirit as a dove came down, and John said, this is the Son of God. And then we get to John chapter 1, verse 35. John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus. This is the second time he said, behold, the Lamb of God. In other words, John also got confirmation. He got confirmation first, and it came from God. And now the scriptures would say, in verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak, his two disciples, and they followed Jesus. That's who they should have been following. Now, John was something else. John preached, and they followed John the Baptist. But John, all along, his lesson was that somebody greater than me is coming after me. That's who you really need to be following. So these two disciples were listening to John when he said that. And you know what? They weren't stuck on John. They said, we better go follow Jesus. Yeah. Don't put all your faith in any man anyway. Why we are on this earth. Now, Jesus is one thing, but you know that any man, woman has the ability to fall. And you don't follow nobody everywhere they go. And then he said this, and they followed Jesus. Now, verse 38, and Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what do you see? They said to him, Rabbi, which translates teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, that's 4 o'clock. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Peter's brother. He heard Jesus before Peter heard Jesus. And Andrew, the scripture don't say a lot about his actions, although it also says, most of the time it says that he's with Peter, he's Peter's brother, and he's there, but it doesn't speak about a lot of his actions. It speaks about a lot of Peter's action. But Andrew, if it wasn't for Andrew, there wouldn't be any Peter. Amen. Who followed Jesus. Same with us. There are some individuals that you and I have influence over that will do more with Jesus than we do. Amen. It's just the truth. And for whatever the reason, but also that's not to negate what we bring to the table. Lord have mercy. Sometimes I wish I could be a quiet kind of Christian. Because I know in the Lord's church we have individuals who serve God in their own quiet way and use their influence by some people inviting. We thank God for those who came over yesterday and filled out the envelopes and God put them in the letter. You don't know who they are, do you? And you won't know unless they tell you. But that was a great deed that they did yesterday. Perhaps one of those envelopes will go to somebody who comes and hears the gospel and is baptized into the kingdom, and they'll be thanking you for eternity. And there are many deeds that we can do as children of God that nobody has to see but God. And Andrew, listen to what the scripture say. It was Andrew, Simon's brother. No, the 10th hour. One of the two who heard him was Andrew, Simon's brother. He found first his own brother, Simon. Andrew was so concerned about his brother, Peter, after he heard about Jesus and he spent time with Jesus and he confirmed that this is Jesus, the one that John the Baptist was talking about. This is him. I got to go get my brother. And he did. You know, that's what you do for people you love and care about. You know, when you hear some good news, you'll be hearing, we're talking about the good news revival. When you get some good news, you don't keep it to yourself unless you don't like the person. Unless you don't want to see them do any good. And he thought about it. He says he went to his brother. Well, that's awesome that he loves his brother that much. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you know, sometimes folks in family, boy, we have so much animosity and jealousy and all of that stuff. That didn't come from God. No. He went and told Peter, listen, he says this. We have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. And he brought him to, notice this, he brought, Peter, you got to come see Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. Now that had to catch Peter's attention. Andrew brings, now you know Jesus is 100% humanity at this time, but he's still 100% God. Jesus knows who he's looking. Jesus sees what we don't see ourselves. As older I get, I try not to judge people, to say who's going to do that. I don't care what size a person is, what family you're from, wherever you are. God took an ordinary fisherman, a working man. Lord have mercy, and we got through with this man. Yeah, and he said, you are Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which translated Peter. That's Peter. Peter in the Bible. That's God's introduction. So when we read Mark's account, when Jesus said, follow me, it was after some confirmation that Peter and Andrew, they left all they had and followed Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And it is a commitment. I admire individuals who get confirmation before they jump in the water. You know, see, sometimes, you know, I know in many instances in the book of Acts, many of the conversion stories in the book of Acts, individuals heard the gospel and they were baptized the same day that they heard. And that is the apostles had the ability to perform miracles. And it don't take forever for somebody to understand the truth. But, you know, in humanity, especially if you have been hurt by somebody, or you are leery of folks, because, you know, some folks talk a good game, but they don't live it. Some people say things, you watch folk, that individuals who come among us, you have individuals who visit this church, the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, they may be a member of another church of Christ before they place membership. That's the Bible says, prove all things. And hold fast, test all things. Don't just give somebody your everything you got because they look good and can talk good. Yeah, you check things out. Yeah, Peter and Andrew, they followed Jesus, but it was from a credible source. They got it from John the Baptist, and Andrew was there with John the Baptist. He saw him. John the Baptist professed to him, and John told him that this is the Christ. And Andrew said, look, I'm going to tell my brother, and Peter should have believed his brother because his brother loved him. And that was the beginning of Peter's relationship with the Lord. It's like, you know, some of us, we have influence over individuals in our family, you know, whether it's our mother, our sister, and they know if you say it, they're going to believe it. But even if you say it, you still need to get confirmation for yourself. Yeah, and individuals come here, you hear the word, but you test the word, you prove and make sure it is something you're doing for yourself, because it is a commitment. It is a commitment to be a Christian. And one thing you can say about Peter is after he left those fishermen nets, he stayed with Jesus. He had some turbulent times, but he stayed with his. And those of us that's in the Lord's church right now, some of us, some folk come in and they come out and they miss, they hit and miss. Sometimes you're hurt by things that go on in the church, but you stay with Jesus. Amen. No matter what goes on. Peter was something else, though. He was something else. Thank God for Andrew. Thank God for the Andrews of this congregation. Let me say this also. And I know I may have to do this in two parts. I may have to finish it up tonight. But I'm trying to take my time. I'm trying to take my time because there's so much in this. But let me say this. Don't miss your opportunity, though. Notice this. Yeah. Jesus, it says, when he was on the coast of Galilee, that's where he began his ministry. And that is where he met Peter. And to us, see, you know, opportunities don't come all the time. And don't miss your opportunity. I wonder what would have happened if Peter would have procrastinated. I wonder what would have happened if he had just, you know, sit on it. And do you think Jesus was just going to beg him? Because, you know, when folk busy, you know, when people, you know, and I have to plead, Lord, please pray for me. I pray for me because I'm trying to manage my time better. And sometimes I get tunnel vision. You know, when you have something to do and you're not trying to be mean, you're not trying to be but when you have something to do and there's already not enough time, you know, and you need somebody to help. You know, you're trying to go places where, you know, we're trying to get this done, and you just don't have a lot of time for other things. It's not that you're being mean. It's just that you're trying to get done the priority things that need to get done. And I pray for me that I can manage my time better. Not be mean and rude to people, and you know I'm so bad. My wife's trying to help me with my cell phone. This cell phone, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the cell phone. But sometimes the cell phone's just not good for you. Whoo, Lord, have mercy! You are always connected to somebody. You know, if you're doing something that's important, you can't do everything. Ooh, I need to answer, but I can't. Lord have mercy. Jesus and Peter took advantage of this opportunity. And it just reminds me, you know, when your ear is listening to Jesus, when your heart is ready to obey him, do it. Because you never know. You know, when I preach funerals now, I preached last week, young man, 26 years old. And you see, some of us, we hear it, but the reality of the situation is, you know, how you say, well, you know, it's going to take some time. You need to grow up. No, you need to hurry up and grow up. Amen. You don't know what time, you don't know where your next opportunity will come. Yeah, yes. Do not, don't miss. Today might be. It's just, you know, I knew when I was young, I used to hear preachers. I said, he up there trying to scare folk to death. And you know, but when you're young or you don't, you know, you feel like some of us, even when they say it, it don't touch you because you ain't talking to me until your best friend drowns. When I was a freshman in college. All of a sudden, things keep happening over against the gear. They talking to you. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, you know. See, I used to be patient sometimes talking to young people. But you need to hurry up and make your mind up who you're going to live for at a young age. Because you mess around and you will never come back. You, some of you that's in a captive audience now, you hear messages and people trying to keep you on the straight and narrow. You need to make your mind up that you're going to serve God and serve him till you die. Amen. That's the best thing you can do. And don't miss your opportunity. Jesus gave Peter a new name. Gave him new direction. You notice he went from being a fisherman, ordinary man. I love it that the Bible. I love the Bible. It identifies. Jesus uses plain folk. I say plain folk, but anybody that has a willing heart, Jesus can use rich folks also. But Peter was a fisherman. And you know, you commit your life to the Lord, it gives your life whole new direction. New goals. He went from a fisherman to being a missionary. Laid the fish down. Not to say that he lost his skills. You see that he uses them again. He had his skills, but that was not priority. Amen, somebody. So I admire Brother D'Amico. When D'Amico was in Houston playing for the Houston Texans, he was a Houston Texan football player. But D'Amico, you know, you sit down and talk with him. He was a man that loved God, and he knew God. From my understanding of talking to him, he knew that nothing he did was out without the help of God. And for a man to leave a Sunday football game and come to evening worship. Now, you say, well, Gary, that's nothing. We all come. I know we all come. We all make sacrifices. But it says where your priorities are. Because people make all kinds of excuses why not to do something when it comes to serving God. Amen. Yeah, yeah. And so, but Jesus gave him a new name, new direction. And Peter used his natural traits for God. You know, whereas, you know, when you get baptized in water for the remission of your sin, you're still the same person. I mean, you know, you're the same person. You don't just come out and just all of a sudden you speak in a whole different language. You know, if you could work on computers before you got baptized, you still have that skill. But you have a different mindset. You know, you're a business owner, you have a business and you're making good money, you humble yourself and you're baptizing Jesus Christ, you're still a businessman, but now it's not all about you. It's about how you can be a light to the world and give God glory, not your smart self. Yeah, yeah. And so that's what the Lord does for. He changes our whole mind. I remember my dad got baptized into Jesus Christ years ago. I was young, maybe not eight years old. I just remember it because it's like that daddy. He went from washing the car on Sundays, washing the car. He went from, you know, talking loud, playing dominoes and drinking, was it slits? What was it, Dad? He's not in here. we boys, you know, kids watch everything. You know that, don't you? Kids know how you talk. They know the words you use. They go and use them, too. Maybe not around y'all time. Kids see everything. They know your habits. All of that. I mean, I watched my dad. I used to want to go. My dad worked at a place. It was called, he used to take us every now and then. It was called a levee. My brothers remember, we were young. It was a club. And he worked his job, and he had a second job. He worked at night, worked club. And we used to beg him, Daddy, can we go to the club? Can we go? Not to go to the club. Can we go? We just wanted to go be with him. He would go and clean up at night after the folks parted in the club. We didn't know what a club was at the time. It was a big place. But we was in the place, and you find money. We said, who finds some money? We find money and all kind of stuff. And we looking at all this stuff, and it smells so bad in there. I'm like, Daddy, what's all that? Boy, that's beer. We smell beer and wine, and you know, we're looking at this place. But after my dad got, after he got baptized, he stopped working at the club. I know he still could have, but it's just like my dad had a whole, his pattern changed. His daddy prayed at the table. And I'm going to tell you something. I learned when I was studying about Peter, I know Peter used to curse. Because he cursed also after he got converted. He didn't curse all the time, but it slipped out. But Jesus gave him, he can do the same thing for us. Yeah, Jesus can still change a man, a woman's, a boy, a girl's life. He can still do it. And we have many examples, even in the body of Christ here at the, some of us know each other before we came to Christ. And if we had time to tell it, no, we better not tell it. But some of us know each other. Every now and then, I go, you know, my alma mater calls us, go back, do some reunion stuff. I rarely go. Last time I went, one of the guys that were there, he says, Smitty, they tell me you the big pastor. I'm preaching. He said, yeah, he said, but I remember when. I said, let me find somebody else to go talk to. Yeah. Let me hurry. I'm going to stop on time. Peter was, he uses natural traits, but he used them for God. The grittiness of a fisherman, the assertiveness of the work ethic. Now notice that Jesus, now he selects Peter was a working man. If you were a lazy fisherman, you wouldn't catch no fish at all. You're working with your hands, you're not afraid of the elements. Peter was outspoken. We know that from many instances, in the Word of God. So Peter, this is his traits. He was never shy to speak. Man of action. And notice Andrew's trait. We don't read a lot about what Andrew did, but they were different. They were different. Peter was a man of action. Peter was one. He was one who got the ball rolling. Listen to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. You know the passage when Jesus says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ. Notice this, Simon Peter answered. He asked them all. He's like Peter, the first one. Peter was a blurter. Call him a B-L-U-R-T. He was a blurter. He was the one that said what was on his mind. Now, that can be good, but not all the time. Some of us in here, we have that trait. But you know what? It's not all bad, because see, some people don't say nothing. It's like you want some kind of response. I mean, somebody step up, somebody volunteer. You remember when Jesus was walking on the water in the storm, and they were getting weary, and they saw, and Jesus says, it's I. And Peter jumped out to Peter. He jumped out the boat. Now, all the rest of them on there, nobody moving. There go Peter. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the Peters. For the folk who won't sit back and just watch. So for those who would step up, for those who speak, for those who have confidence. Yeah, he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you. Notice this, blessed Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is, he said, blessed are Peter, God bless you for saying it out loud. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Now, and the Lord, sure, I'm glad everybody not like Peter. But thank God. See, thank God. See, like now in the Lord's church, right? We're in worship service. Now, you know, some people never say amen. Amen means so be it. It means I agree with it. We have Bible for saying amen. You know, but you know, everybody don't say it out loud. Some people say it in their hearts. I have people tell me all the time, as Bergier, you know, to look at them, you think they wouldn't even listen to the sermon. And they may come to me and say, Bergier, the word touched my. Now, notice this, and I don't take it that I'm doing anything, but the word touched my spirit today. I'm glad you said it, because it looked like you was dead. No, I don't say that sometimes, you know. Now, please help me, Lord Jesus. But you know, it's our personality. Some people don't do a whole lot of talking anyway. Notice this, leave them alone. But thank God somebody say amen every now and then. Amen. Amen. Peter, you had 11 guys there. You know, Jesus says, he said, who do you say that I, the Son of Man? Who was he talking to? He's talking to all of them. Now notice this, nobody said nothing but who? And you know what? Peter got the blessing also. Peter said it first. Peter was the first to speak on the day of Pentecost. It's Peter. So don't be shame and shy. Shame that you when you are convicted, when you believe something, don't be ashamed to say it. If you really believe it. Now, if you don't believe it, you need to be quiet. Be faking and shaking with nobody. But he uses natural traits. John chapter 13, verse 8. Peter said to him, notice this, this is what the brother read at the scripture read. Peter said to him, this said this to Jesus, never shall you wash my feet. You remember the example of Jesus getting ready almost to go to the cross, and he gets a pail out and he washes the disciples' feet. This is the Son of God. He does this. He washes their feet. And he gets to Peter, and Peter said what's on his mind. Said, never, Lord, you're washing my feet. Now, maybe perhaps some of the others may have thought it. Said, what is Jesus doing? And Peter said it. Then he said, Jesus said, I do not wash. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me, Peter. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we can say things and be just as wrong as we can be. And Peter did that. Sometimes you think you know what's best. But you don't. Sometimes we think we have all knowledge, but we don't. And I would say anytime Jesus gives a word on something, be willing to give in to the word of the Lord. Notice, after Jesus spoke, the Bible says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also, notice the humility. Now, Peter was brash. He was verbal. He said what he thought he meant. But he was also willing to back up. That's a trait we all need, don't we? Yeah. Some of us, our pride is going to be the death of us. When you're wrong, you're just wrong. Just say, don't just sit. Now, can you imagine Peter up here arguing? No, Jesus, you the Son of God. You don't need to wash my feet. And even after Jesus told him, listen to you, if I don't wash your feet, I'm trying to give an example that the world may know. If I don't wash your feet, you don't belong to me, because I'm showing you how you ought to be yourself. Well, now, Jesus, you Jesus, and you don't need to be doing that. You not folks need to be washing your feet. Be quiet, Peter. Some of us in the Lord's church, we argue with even when we know the Bible is right. It's not about you, it's about God. Amen. Amen, somebody. And some of us need to listen. We need to listen when the word convicts us, when you know you are out of line. Stop arguing with folk and just be humble. Try, because we want to argue with folk because we don't want to humble our spirit to say somebody else was right and we were wrong. And only we're only right when we're right with the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Lord have mercy. Peter was a leader. He was. I mean, you could say, and you know, I believe that he was a leader before he became a Christian. As a fisherman, that's why Andrew went and got him. He knows he's not nothing. Look, this is the Lamb of God. I need to go get Peter because I know Peter know what to do with this. And in the same way in the Lord's church, you know, folk in your family, in most families, if there are two or three kids in the family, there is somebody that you don't have to say it out loud. There's somebody you say, you know who the leader is. Not that they're any better than anybody. It's the person that asserts themselves, that takes themselves. Okay, well, what are we going to do? When mama, we have kids. Mama just died. We have 4 or 5 kids. Well, what are we going to do? What do we need to do? That's the person everybody go to. And you know that they're going to get the ball. Not that they're the smartest, but they're going to get the ball rolling. Peter is mentioned. You see the list that's in the Bible that lists all of the apostles. Mark chapter 10, verse 2, Matthew 10, 2, Mark 3, 16, Luke 6, 14, the places where it lists all apostles. Peter's always mentioned first. I believe that's in the Bible for a reason. Just not to say Peter is to be distinguished over anybody else. He's any better than anybody else. But Peter was a leader. He was. The scripture also says this. It makes a note of this. In Acts 4:13, that Peter was uneducated in the Mosaic law. He was uneducated in the Mosaic law. Let me read this passage. Acts 4:13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Notice, Jesus takes this fisherman, man, this working man, hard working man, but man who's out there, he had a lot of life experiences, hard times, and he takes this man, and this man follows Jesus. And in Acts chapter 4, we see Peter's preaching. Notice, he's preaching. And the people see him. They say, hey, this man is not even educated. And how in the world he's going to be preaching, telling us all of this stuff he's telling us about Jesus? And how can he do all of this? And let me just say this to all of us. Now, education, you know, I'm for 100% for education. We need to learn. All of us need to stay students all of our life. But notice, Peter was not educated in the Mosaic law, but the scripture says that he was. They recognized that Peter had been with Jesus. So in one sense, he was uneducated. But you take any individual who fully commits to Jesus and his ways and his words, and people will be amazed at what the Lord can do with anybody. Amen, somebody. And he did that with Peter, and Peter didn't go to the school of Gamaliel. And he can do it. He can do it. Some people are intimidated. You know, we have, even in our brotherhood now, guys throw around these titles, doctor. Why? Throwing around these educational titles. What for? Who are you trying to impress? Just study the word and preach the word. Folk will know who been with Jesus or not. Amen, somebody. Yeah. It's not to negate education. I believe in education, but that's not what leads folk to Christ. It's individuals who've been with Jesus and tell the story in plain English where people can understand, and who can defend the faith. Man, somebody, Peter. Thank the Lord for Peter. Peter, Peter stood up, and when you and see, we're having our Good News revival real soon. Good News, Best Light. You know, Brother Tony Roach is coming to preach one of the Sundays. He is a excuse me. He is a doctor, but he's our brother in Christ. But Brother Tony Roach is just one of the speakers. We have other men who are speaking, and that is for a, see, one of my primary responsibilities as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to teach others, other men, that they may be able to teach others also, is to train men and women to learn about God and be able to express that to others. And see, now they are good men. They may not be doctors, but if they know the word, you'll know they know the word. And often individuals like that can convert more people to Christ because they say, if he can do that for Joe. Amen. So-and-so not speaking, I'm not going to even come. Well, I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. I don't have it right in my mind to say it right, so read my mind. Matthew, okay, I got two minutes. Everybody all right? Yeah. Matthew chapter 14, verse 29. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water. I just referenced that a little bit earlier. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Now, I don't know if I should stop, but I want you to see Peter because we admire Peter because Peter was committed, but he was subject to influence. He was subject, when he got, I'll paraphrase this, when he got out of the boat, And he was walking on the water. The scriptures would say, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to seek, he cried out, Lord. See, you know, Peter was man of God, committed to God, but he was subject to influence. Just like we are subject to influence. See, when you don't keep your eye on Jesus, yeah, a whole lot of things can happen. And scriptures say he became afraid. Cussing Peter became afraid. And I hope he wasn't cussing while he was out there. But he became afraid and he began to seek. And he cried out, but he knew who to cry to. He said, Lord, save me. And don't grow weary, even those of us that have committed to the Lord. Don't grow weary if you fall sometime. Not to encourage anybody to fall. Learn from Peter. Stop looking at the wind and keep your eye on Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus. Peter wouldn't have failed. He wouldn't have gotten afraid if he just would have kept his eye on Jesus. And I know in a literal sense that probably was true, but influences, Lord have mercy. You remember also in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. He's an apostle. Paul says, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. He was a Christian, a saint. For prior to coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentile, but when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcised. See, Peter was subject to influence even after he was a mature Christian, supposedly mature Christian. He let the influence of others influence what he knew he was supposed to be doing that was right. Yeah. That's why none of us should get on our high horse. Now, we haven't arrived. I've been in the church for 30 years now, and it just don't matter. Matter of fact, you've been in the church for 30 years, you better get on your knees and stay on your knees, stay humble, and so the Lord don't send you a test to reveal who you really are. Oh, if I had some time, Yeah, just stay humble. When you see people fall, pray for them. Don't negate. Oh, yeah, I knew she wasn't nothing anyway. How you know? Because you not. No, I'm just. I mean, just pray for them. When people have tragedies, when things happen, don't talk about folk. Yeah. Because see, we get in our little circles too. You know, we get around people and we act funny with folk. You know. Nobody, there's no big eye. We don't have any cliques in the church. We're not supposed to have any cliques in the church. You know, sometimes we get in our little circle. Somebody come along, we act like we don't know. Why you not talk? You talk to them when you're by. You say, how you doing? So I say, welcome to the church. But your little friends come around here. We don't do that in here, do we? I didn't think so. I just brought that up. Tell somebody that need it sometime. See, you think that's talking about Peter. But don't you let your... Don't you let the devil. That's all it is. Peter, eating with the Gentiles, they're new converts. They're new converts and they need the Lord. Now his Jewish friends come around and he have nothing to do with them. Paul said, I refuted him to his family. Thank you, Paul, for telling Peter. Some of the Pauls in the Lord's church now. Now everybody don't go to folk, but some folk need to say, no, sister, you know you, brother, you need a... Oh, I gotta stop. I finished tonight. Maybe somebody might come back tonight. Let me stop. Is there somebody? This your opportunity to be saved. Lord knows I'm not Jesus. Jesus came Peter's way. Yeah. Andrew got him, and his life was never the same. You come to the Lord by faith. If you hear that this morning, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He can change your world, your direction, your pilgrimage, your life, your history, your family's history will never be the same. Never be the same. When my dad converted to Christ, I hate to think of where our family would be. Amen. These 40-some years of my daddy got converted into Jesus Christ. I got baptized. My brothers got baptized. My sisters got baptized into the Lord's church. My daddy made sure we were at the Lord. My daddy, like Jamal just sitting here with his son. My daddy made sure. You sit down right there, boy. We worked around the table. We went to Bible class. I went when I didn't want to go. Daddy, get up. Time to get up. We jumping up. Coming up. Thank you. Oh, Lord have mercy. Yes. Maybe someone here is your opportunity today. You come by faith believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. If you're willing to confess Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2, 38, Mark 16, 16. If you're willing to live for Jesus till you die, Lord have mercy. Yeah. I'll tell you what scholars say happened to Peter. Happened to Peter after he committed. Somebody come to Jesus as we stand and sing.
In my heart,
yes, that's your brother.
Sometimes.
That's your brother.